One of my key criteria was to being able to talk to my future spouse. That was my key criteria, because if I cannot communicate, I think that will be a stumbling block.
Hello and welcome to the Connect 2 Marriage Podcast. I am Gary and I'm your host for this episode. In each episode of the Connect 2 Podcast, we'll be tackling questions that couples ask about marriage, communication, and conflict, and so much more. We hope you will keep tuning in to learn with us as you grow closer, deeper, and stronger in your marriage. In today's time-starved world, is it possible for a couple to grow in their love for each other? If so, how? Let's find out more in today's episode. What does it take to grow and nurture a relationship in today's fast-paced and frantic world? We know we have to slow down, but many of us find ourselves addicted to the speed. How do we practically slow down and truly make time and space for the people that matter? In this first episode of our two-part series, we are focusing on how a couple can practically navigate the culture of hurry and fight for time together prior to marriage. In the second episode, we will be diving deeper into how a couple can carve out time to continue pursuing and nurturing their relationship even after marriage. Joining us to shed some light on this is Francis and Jocelyn. Francis and Jocelyn have been married for 24 years. Francis works in IT project management, and Jocelyn is a trainer who runs mental wellness programs and other critical life skills workshops for students and adults. Welcome to the Connect 2 Podcast.
Hello.
Hello, hi, thank you.
In this episode, we would like to home in on this culture of hurry that we live in and how to prioritize your relationship amidst the many distractions and responsibilities of life. So Francis, to kick things off, do me a favor and think back to the time of your pre-married days, maybe not too long ago, hopefully not too long ago. And just share with us, how did you first meet Jocelyn?
I met her while we were in church. Just a background to it was both of us, we were in church and her parents were also attending church at the same time. And I kind of like knew the parents personally. So I kind of like jumped the gun and I went to talk to her parents first. Yeah, instead of going to her, and I kind of like was interested in her, but I went past that and then went to talk straight to her parents. And then her parents were like a bit curious. They said, why this guy suddenly will...
Yeah, suddenly so friendly.
So friendly.
I mean, usually not so friendly. Yeah, okay.
Also, to add on to that, I think both parents and me, we were in the same cell group during that period. But we were not that close, but suddenly when I kind of like make my move and then start to talk to them, and then they were like, okay.
Suspicious.
They were suspicious. So that's how I kind of like got to know her, get to start to make my move lah.
Oh, very unconventional, because usually people date, just then get permission of meet the parents, but you go via the parents' route.
Correct. I went kind of like top down.
Yeah, I think last time there was MSN. Before he sent text messages on the MSN, I already knew that was something was up, because my parents came and tell me, how come this guy is so strange, you know, suddenly so overly friendly. Yeah, so from MSN, then it progressed to a phone call.
One of my key criteria was to being able to talk to my future spouse. That was my key criteria, because if I cannot communicate, I think that will be a stumbling block. On our first conversation, I think we spoke for about close to 6 hours.
Through the night. I was also very surprised, because I wasn't very interested in him, but I was surprised. Hey, how come I don't like this guy, but I can talk so long, you know?
Yeah. And this was the days before we were text messages.
Yeah, correct.
No
phones.
Correct. No phones, no nothing. Pager, period. And MSN was the king of chat then. So that was the culture back then. So I guess we were able to connect, I think, on the level in terms of being able to talk over the phone. And then after that, we started to hang out for about close about a year. I mean, that's how I progressed from the parents through the chat, through the MSN, and then after that we start going out, and then the rest is history.
Compared to today's time, I think it was quite a long process, because it took about a year. So we did hang out, but we were not considered like courting yet in a relationship. So it was really getting to know each other. So it was a year before we actually became a couple.
Mm. Yeah. So you all have a good foundation, because you all started off as friends rather than just...
Correct.
Yeah.
Although you approached the parents first with the intention.
Correct.
Right.
Kind of like made my intentions known, so that after that then...
Make himself visible, right?
Nah, correct. Make himself visible. And I guess it's a bit easier, because I kind of like know the parents.
So at that time, you all been in your 20s. How did you all navigate? Singaporeans, sometimes we all complain. Typical answer is busy, I'm tired. How are you? Busy, tired. It's always the same reply for most conversations for us busy Singaporeans. How did y'all make time? I mean, just starting out in your own careers, this whole busy, hurry life for each other.
We had to be very intentional about how often we meet, say a week. And I think because of the nature of work he was involved in, so he was a regular in the Navy, so he traveled quite frequently and also can be long periods of time. And even when he's Singapore, sometimes he's like stuck in camp, so overnight. So I think it's a good thing that actually that time don't have like WhatsApp and stuff like that on the phone, because we really had to physically call each other because we're mentoring couples as well. And we find that a lot of the young couples now, a lot of times when they try to communicate each other, even resolving conflicts is all over text. So which leads to a lot of miscommunication, misunderstanding. So when he's at camp, like even in the middle of the night, he will make time and we'll just chat on the phone. Also, empathy is very important because I had to understand the nature of his work. So there were times when I think we're in a movie and then he's like last minute, he had to like rush off somewhere and it's like some top secret thing. I don't know, I'm not supposed to know. So I had to understand and then know that somehow it's part of his work. Yeah, not to complain about it. I mean, of course, sometimes you were looking forward to a date and then it didn't come through. You probably feel a bit disappointed, but we had to manage those emotions. I think it's really about intentionally spending time and quality time. For us, phone calls were very, very important.
Mm.
And when he's overseas, that time is all phone cards. So I had to buy like $10, $20 phone cards and like can be like five at one go to make IDD calls.
Mm.
Even if it's troublesome, I'll just go down to the void deck, find a phone booth and take out like how many cards and then keep calling, like, because he couldn't call me on the mobile phone or be that there wasn't any.
No,
like,
no, no.
Communication is very important for us.
You all mentioned two things. Yes, having to understand each other's routines and the work and not being able to see each other quite a fair bit. I mean, first of all, when Singapore, sometimes we're so busy that we don't see each other. But for you all not being able to see each other because of work over long distance, when you're out on sea, you can't just call. No, there's no way to call, right?
No way.
I don't know whether it's different today, but what's key, what you all mentioned, is being intentional in the time that you spend and having understanding. Right. Were there times you all just got frustrated, like, you're supposed to meet me, but didn't meet me because you mentioned dates were cancelled because of work.
Mm.
Or a top secret. COVID operations or things like that. How do you grapple with that? I mean, you're even feeling like, I'm sure you let her down when you all planned something.
Just to continue what she was sharing. So there was that period where we were about to just enter the movie and my pager start to ring off. When I look at number, I know, oops. So quickly make a phone call and then they say, you know, I was told to go back. So kind of like explain to her, say that, you know, I can't go to the movie now. I said, I'll make it up to you. You know, I need to go now because I have a time. So it's like KPI about what time you're supposed to reach, and then you're supposed to quickly change your gears and then off you go. So I had to explain that, say that, you know, I will come back and then I will make it up to you. So it's keeping the promise that even though I'm not able to do it, thereafter when I come back, I will make it up.
I think he made it up to like surprising me. I think there are several occasions when I didn't expect him to be there. I think I remember two specific occasions. One is how he was in Australia for, I think, quite long, maybe 3 weeks. So he suddenly came to pick me up from work. Yeah, so that was very nice. And then another one, it was my driving test. I think it's like the fourth time. I think he was there to encourage me because I took 4 times to pass. I think maybe he thought I would fail again. So he was surprised me also by coming down to be there. Yeah, it was very significant, all these little actions.
I think the key that you all keep mentioning repeatedly is being intentional, because we plan for other things in the work, but sometimes when it comes to the relationship, we just leave whatever remaining energy that we have for spending time together. Maybe for our listeners, what are some things that you see in today's younger couples, and what are some tips we can leave with them in their whole dating process and getting to know each other better?
Marriage is one of the most rewarding things in life. Yet, navigating marriage as newlyweds or an engaged couple can sometimes get overwhelming. Whether it's managing expectations of the in-laws, getting a good grasp of your family finances, or establishing good habits of communication and healthy conflict. Focus on the Family Singapore's Marriage Preparation Program aims to help you build a solid foundation in the early years and prepare you for the adventure of your life. Visit family.org.sg/C2Marriage Prep for more information today.
I think one of the things that we notice when we met all young couples are conflicts when they kind of like argue over each other over WhatsApp. Yeah, so in today's technology, where technology sometimes can be a hindrance to your relationship, I think that's one of the key things that we noticed. So we kind of like told them, say that, you know, you need to literally need to pick up a call, and some more, you know, with data so readily available and you got Wi-Fi there, you know, in the home, practically every home has Wi-Fi, you can use that and you can talk for hours. I'm not sure whether they can last as long as 6 hours like us. I think it would be good to pick up the phone and talk. Even for myself, when I find that, you know, in my work, when I find that, you know, using emails versus when I go on a phone call and explain the situation, I think it's much more easier to make my thoughts and the intention clear to my stakeholders and my colleagues. I think this is one of the key tips in terms of communications today.
I think it's also to discuss what your expectations are, because it could be different expectations, like depending if like someone's love language is quality time, then obviously the person will expect more, but for another person, it might not be so. So I think really discuss early in the relationship, like, is it once a week? Is it twice a week? Is expectation realistic? And because we go through different seasons in our life, so sometimes particularly that's the peak period for work, I think there also has to be the understanding that comes in. So I think discussing expectations and setting aside, say, okay, if it's once or twice a week, then really set that time and keep to it as much as possible.
You mentioned love languages. Can you elaborate a little more on love languages?
So love languages from Gary Chapman's 5 love languages. So there are actually 5. One is physical touch. One is acts of service, quality time, gifts. So basically, it says that everyone has a certain slant towards feeling love. For example, okay, mine is quality time, the top love language. I would feel most love if my partner actually spending a lot of time with me or being intentional with that. So it depends. If your partner's love language gives, then probably you might need to buy a lot of gifts for your partner. Okay, not necessarily expensive gifts, but that's just what the person feels most love when gifts are being showered.
So Francis, your love language would be?
Touch and acts of service.
Okay, so in this context, when we're in this busy, busy world, right? Mm-hmm. When Jocelyn's love language is time, how do we actually make time? Because it's easier to buy a gift. I mean, it's quite fast. Mm. Can even send a gift now. Mm. But time, I cannot buy time in a way, right? But how do y'all actually do it? And maybe just also leave our listeners with some things they could practically do.
Again, back to our pre-dating days, I think we kind of like weren't open to this concept of 5 love languages. I kind of like stumbled upon it when I found out that, okay, she needs time. You know, she loves to spend time with me, hang out with me. And that's how I kind of like literally from the phone call, it's in a way I'm spending time with her. Likewise, when I bring surprises and then after that we go chilling out, I think that's kind of like spending quality time with her as well. So that's how I stumbled upon that.
Yeah, but I think it's also trying to like kind of get into each other's world. So we might have differing leisure, like hobbies or something like that. Okay, our tastes in movies are different. So it's more the give me those brainless, you know, action and more like quite the deep movie kind of thing. When we go and watch movies, we try and like step into each other's world. That means not just do what you like, but do what the other person like. Maybe you won't do a lot of it, but at least you make an effort and you show each other that, hey, actually, I'm willing to step into your world.
Thank you so much. Each podcast, we address a frequently asked question that couples have about dating and marriage. Today's question is from a man to his soon-to-be wife. Huh? My partner and I have made it a point to spend intentional time with each other every Saturday evening. However, sometimes I find myself worrying about work or just distracted by text messages, even when I'm physically present with my partner. Could you please give me some tips on how to overcome this distractedness?
I think one of it will be to keep your devices on silent mode. If you have a lot of work texts or emails that's coming in, you'll always be on the lookout, you know, something is coming. So that's one of the key things that you need to do that. The other thing would be you need to probably transit before meeting up with your partner. For me, I think it would be playing game. I transit from my work when I come back. I transit by playing game. That's how I kind of like de-stress myself before I kind of like engage and hang out with my partner then. The other thing is, I love to watch Netflix. I think Netflix would be a good distress, so you can catch up with your latest K-drama and whatever movies that you like to watch. The fourth thing for myself would be exercising, jogging. So when I jog, when I kind of like distress myself, and after that, once I am able to kind of like free my mind, and then I'm able to go and, you know, literally meet up with my partner, without overly being distracted, I think you need to really literally be intentional. I think earlier we have been stressing quite a fair bit of that. Being very intentional about meeting up, you know, with your partner and give her or him the full attention.
Like on my end, I also need to know when to catch him. If he's in the work mode, right? I don't try and like, hey, talk to me now, you know? It's not a good time. So you also have to be sensitive to the situation and then like allow him to like go and play game first or go and like exercise and then come back again so that he can give me his full attention.
Thank you so much for such wisdom and practical advice. Sometimes we forget that your phone can actually be silent. You know, just turn off. I mean, it's for 15 minutes, we can do that. Unless you are standby for some COVID operation, then you need the phone there. But we can actually do that. And it's most of the time, really, it's not a life and death situation that we really need to answer. If we can just be intentional, put aside 15, 30 minutes just time for each other and focus, I think it will be so helpful and beneficial. I also like that you said to give each other space first to unwind, de-stress, but to come back after that rather than you de-stress, watch drama for the whole night and then we never see each other, you know. That's another story altogether. Thanks, Francis and Jocelyn, for sharing your practical handles for dating couples. Really, it's inspiring to hear about how you intentionally choose to grow your love for each other despite the culture and urgency and the hurry we all live in. Yeah? In each podcast, we end off with a couple challenge for couples to do and share with each other. So if you are listening to this with your spouse, give yourself 5 minutes, look at your calendar and schedule a weekly check-in time with each other, just as you would for any other work appointment. Commit to fully showing up for each other during the set time and make it even more intimate by choosing to go device-free during that set time. We hope this podcast has given you some encouragement that pursuing our spouse consistently and building a strong marriage is the best investment you can give in your marriage. In our next episode, tune in and hear from Francis and Jocelyn how they carve out time to continue in pursuing and nurturing their relationship even after marriage. If you're looking out for more resources to grow your relationship and marriage, do visit our website at family.org.sg to browse some of our articles or check out some of our upcoming events that you can actually participate in. We hope you have followed and subscribed to our Connect 2 podcast or share this episode with a friend who may also benefit from it. Thank you for tuning in, and until next time, take care of yourself and your spouse.